Good morning, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Good to see you here this morning. Well, kind of here. We're here, and we're glad you're here with us this morning. During this time, we usually have a time of praise and testimony, and since I'm and we're the only ones who were here, and we all are thankful for what God has done for us this week. As I was sitting in my office this past week, I started thinking about the many things that I miss on Sunday morning. So I figured I would tell you what I miss, and maybe you miss the same things. I'm just not sure. I miss getting here just a little bit before 10 o'clock and going to my office and dropping my stuff off and taking my jacket off at times and grabbing my coffee. And I miss walking through and seeing all the people in their Sunday school rooms and visiting their Sunday school rooms. I miss the sweet shop that we have once a month on Sundays, right before the Sunday school starts, where we have different little sweets and breakfast stuff and coffee. I miss sneaking into Miss Dorcas's Sunday school room, because that woman always has something cooked in her room, and it's always good. And I miss going back to my office and sitting down and spending time going over my notes before the service. I'll open my door as soon as the service, right before the service is getting ready to start, and I miss hearing the children running up and down the halls. Now, normally, I'm saying, slow down, you're going to knock some, you know, elderly person over, but I'm not going to do that the first week we're back. Don't want you to run up and down the halls, but I'm not going to stop you if you do. But I miss hearing the laughter and hearing the children. That is really bothering me. I miss, at quarter till, I miss all the deacons coming into my office, and we usually pray before the service. I miss a full parking lot. I miss the sanctuary, all the people in the sanctuary, and I'm seeing faces of pictures. Now, some of y'all took your pictures down, and I don't understand why, but I miss seeing all the pictures in the sanctuary, and I miss the faces in the sanctuary. I miss the fellowship in the sanctuary. I even miss the two or three people who sleep sometimes when I'm preaching. I just miss the fellowship. I want you to understand, the very first opportunity we have to be back in this church, we are coming back. We are the church, and we're doing amazing things outside the church as God has opened the doors. We're being the church, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm ready for us to come and assemble as a family back again in the church. So I hope you are. I hope you're missing all those same things as well. And I pray that you've come to receive a blessing this morning from God, because that's why we're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you've blessed us in the midst of all this turmoil. You've never hidden. You've never tried to hide your face from us, Lord. You're continually letting us and every person in the world know that you're alive and well. And Lord, I pray that we've come here this morning to listen to your word, but to listen and to hear something that we might start proclaiming your word the way you've created us to do. Help us, God, not to hold back anymore, because you are worthy of our honor, our praise, our devotion. Lord, you're worthy of us being bold for you. Lord, thank you for this day. Help everything we say, everything we do. Help us to lift your name and make your name great amongst the nations. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Now, if you're here with us right now, I think Neil just put it on the screen, but we would like for you to please interact with each other during the sermon. Or during the whole encounter, the live stream, let us know where you're from, where you're watching from, who all is watching with you, and we're glad that you're here this morning. I hope that you come to worship.
You are not alone. If you are lonely, when you feel afraid, you're not the only. We are all the same, in need of mercy, to be forgiven and be free. It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you need. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. If you're rich or poor, well, it don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall. And he so loved the world, he sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another start. For theirs is the kingdom, the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.
Amen. Let's pray together this morning, y'all. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, I just thank you for your spirit, Lord. I thank you for your strength in this time of doubt, Lord, in this time of fear. God, I pray that you would just pour that strength down on us, God. Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to lift us up, Lord, that you would just not allow us to be silent, Lord, to be weak, God. But right now, as we walk through this difficult time, God, that you would give us boldness, that you'd give us a strength that we don't have in us without you. God, that you would lift us up, that you would use us, God, that you would call together your children, God, to be used for your glory. Lord, that you would take this opportunity of difficult times, Lord, for us to share the truth with those that don't know you, God. Lord, we can't thank you enough for the blessings you've poured down on us, our families, our church. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to watch over us, that you'd keep us healthy and that you'd keep us safe. Lord, that you would just work in our lives, God, give us opportunities. Lord, each and every day, give us opportunities to share the truth about you with someone that doesn't know you, God. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
You came for criminals and every Pharisee. You came for hypocrites, even one like me. You carried sin and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done, nailed into your hand. My victory. grace, I've seen and tasted it. It's running through my veins. I can't escape its grip. In you my soul is safe. You cover everything.
Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. A cross meant to kill is my victory.
There's one thing that I have come to understand for sure as we've gone through these difficult times. It is that there are things in our lives that we just can't always count on. There are people, unfortunately. We're all human. We all fall short. We all fail. We can't always count on the people in our lives. We can't always count on medicine in circumstances like this. Medicine is provided by human beings. It's not foolproof. We can't depend on our finances always being in line and always being there. There's so many things in our lives that we know we can't always count on. But there are things that we know to be true that we can absolutely always count on. We know our Lord. We can always count on our Lord. We know the Word. We can always count on the Word of God. The hope that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we can always count on that. Hebrews 6:19 tells us that we have that hope like an anchor for our soul, that we can lean on it whenever we need in times like these. I have journeyed through the long dark night,
out on the open sea. By faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes watching me, the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand. But I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Well, I have been young and I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through those storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved his love to me. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Yes, I've fallen on my knees as I faced raging seas, but the anchor holds. In spite of the storm.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, praise team. If you come to Savannah and you go to restaurants when they're open, not many are open right now, and you sit down at the table and you look at the menu, many of the restaurants here will claim that they have the best Brunswick stew in all of Savannah. And I just want to let you know that they're lying. I've tried different Brunswick stews at different restaurants, and they're not good at all. Some of them are really, they're quite nasty. I mean, nasty. But today, on our live stream, the two Brunswick stew masters in my lifetime are both watching. Ronnie Brogdon and Mike May. Y'all might want to talk to each other afterwards and, you know, compare notes, but I mean, it's the best in the world. Good stuff, good stuff. Turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Now, I once heard a preacher give a great illustration as to how much one person could know about any given topic. Now, you know some people, and I know some people, they think they're the smartest people in all the world. They think they know everything there is to know about everything. And don't talk to them about God, because their intellect is far above the ability to explain God. They know everything about every topic. I've got a friend who is a lawyer, a guy that I went to school with who's a lawyer, and he thinks he knows everything there is to know about everything, but when you talk to him about God, he doesn't know anything about God, but he easily and conveniently explains God away with his superior knowledge. But I heard this one pastor give an illustration. He said this. He said that he had asked a person that he was witnessing to this question. And here's the question. In all of the world, Mr. Smarty Pants, contemplating any and all forms of knowledge, every field of study, and every possible fragment that is known to man, Mr. Smarty Pants, how much of everything there is to know do you think that you know? Now, this smart person, this intellectual person who knows everything, he sat there and he thought and he thought and he thought. He thought about everything there was to know in the world. And this smart man looked at the preacher. He says, I think in all the world's knowledge, I might know 2% of everything there is to know. The preacher then looked at the man who had admitted that he only knew 2% of all there is to know in the world and said this, do you think maybe, as you look at the 98% that you've just admitted that you do not know, that you're missing out on God? Man admitted he knew 2%. That means 98% he knows nothing about. Now listen to what the wisest man in all the world who ever lived, which was Solomon, other than Jesus. Jesus was smarter than Solomon. Everybody has to throw that in there. But Solomon was the wisest man other than Jesus here on this earth. See what Solomon had to say on this topic of knowing and not knowing. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18. Proverbs 30, verse 18. And Solomon says this, there are three things are far beyond me. Four I can't understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship at sea, and the way of a man with a young woman. Now, Solomon is admitting. Now, remember, Solomon, the man who had favor with God, and God showed him such favor. He gave him the ability. He said, ask me for anything. Ask me for anything, and I'll give you what you ask, because I loved your father David so much. So Solomon asked for wisdom, And God gave him that wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom and not riches or anything else, he also gave him riches with the wisdom. Now, he's admitting today, he's saying, there's things that I don't know. He says, there's four things. Three things are beyond me, and four I can't understand. The first one, he said, is the eagle in the sky. As Solomon walked out on one of his colonnades or one of his porches, and he saw the eagle in all its majesty, how majestic he flew through the air. He didn't even have to fly. He'd reach a certain altitude, and he didn't even have to flap its wings. It would just glide on the currents going up and down. And as Solomon looked at this, he just couldn't understand a bird with such size that could glide through the air with such ease. He said this, he says, I don't understand the way of a snake on a rock. Something that looks so unusual, something that has no vertebrae, that can bend and just seemingly just glide and slide across the rocks. He said, I don't understand how in the world that can happen. The third, he said, is the way of a ship at sea. Now, I can see Solomon standing on the seashore and seeing these massive ships. Now, he'd really get a kick out of going with Bill or Mike Tomlin out to see the size of these ships that are sailing now. But he would walk out to the edge of the sea and he would see these massive ships of that day and how they just would glide through the water. And if you think about it, it doesn't make sense how they can do that. And the fourth thing he said was this. He said, the way of a man with a young woman. Now, what in the world is he talking about that? Well, you know, when a man is with a young woman, he just drives him crazy. He doesn't know what to think, what to do, what to say, and he acts really crazy. So Solomon didn't understand that as well. This morning, I want to tell you some things that I don't know the answers to. Some things that I don't understand. Now, I want you to understand that I may know a little on such topics, but I cannot give you accurate, complete, exhausted answers because I don't know. And I want you to understand something. That is the first step of wisdom, is being able to admit when you are wrong. When you can admit that you don't know, that's a good place. And I've said this 100 times. I'll probably say it 100 times more. The more I study, the more I pray, the more I spend time with God, the more I understand that I don't know everything there is to know. This Christian walk is about spending more time with God so you do know more. But the more you know, the more you understand that you don't know. And that's the greatness of God. That's why you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time in His Word. So the title of this morning's message is Things That I Do Not Know. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. As we get to the meat of the message, some of y'all are going to like what I have to say. Some of y'all are probably going to be saying amen. Some of you are not going to like what I have to say. But I want you to understand, I'm admitting to you there's some things that I don't know. And we need to all do this. So, things I don't understand, things I don't know. Number one, I don't know why good people die while evil, corrupt people seem to live long lives. I don't get it. I don't understand. There's certain things that happen in our lives, and when Amy and I encounter different things or different subjects or different topics, from time to time, Amy will look at me and she says, I'm going to have to ask God about that when we get to heaven, because I don't understand it, and I don't like it. And I agree with her. One thing that I don't understand is this. Why there are people who are evil, and they seem to get away with everything. They get by with everything. I mean, there is documented video cases of people saying things and doing things and admitting what they've done, and they absolutely, positively get away with murder. I don't understand that. And they live long lives while good people who devote themselves to reaching out and helping people, it seems like so many of those are taken early in life. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. Now, some would say, well, you know, God had need for him and God wanted to take him home. Well, I get that part and I understand that, but I still don't understand. When a person is evil and they're just horrible people, I don't understand why they live as long as they live. I don't understand how they can live as long as they can live. Number two, I don't understand why there's so many women who do not take care of their children or abuse their children or neglect their children, how they can even have children. And good people who have the means and the ability and the desire to love children. And they can't have children. For whatever reason, they can't have children. But you have somebody who is addicted to drugs or they're addicted to the world. They can't keep themselves together. They can't even function. They can't even take care of themselves. And they can have child after child after child. But you have people who love and adore each other as husband and wife. And they have the physical means, they have the monetary means, and they cannot have children. That bothers me. I want to ask God about that one day. But there's something else I don't understand. There's something else I don't understand. I don't truly understand, church, how the Hebrew children, God's chosen people, missed out on their Messiah. As I look through Scripture, as I read and I try to understand, it does not make sense to me that God loved His people so much. His chosen people, God chose these people. He gave them a land. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage. He walked with them. He talked with them. He did everything for them. He fed them. He watered them. And we're talking about 2 to 3 million people that left Egypt, walked through the desert. He gave them a promised land. For the most part, all they had to do was walk in and possess it. And He destroyed the people around them to give them this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't understand how these people that God did so much for, when He came, when the Messiah came, their Messiah came, how they could reject Him. How they could not see that He was their Messiah. I mean, all the prophecies were there. Over 300 prophecies Jesus fulfilled to be their Messiah. That the chance that one person could fulfill just 10 of those is unbelievable. The statistics are so high. I mean, it's unbelievable that one person could fulfill 10. And Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. And yet still today, the Jewish nation is building monuments unto itself and still rejecting Christ as their Messiah. Listen, I want you to understand something. Whether they want to realize it or not, Jesus still is their Messiah. They still have a time and an opportunity to accept Him today. We might not have much longer, but today they can accept Him as their Messiah. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Now I understand that the whole reason that they rejected Him was, if you look and you want to answer it simply, is pride. Pride. They didn't want to give up what they had to accept what He was offering. It was a pride thing. But I still don't get it. Church, I don't get it. There's something else I don't understand. I don't understand how Judas walked with Jesus and still betrayed Him. I don't get that. Look with me in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 in verse 1. It says, summoning the 12. Understand that. He's not eliminating one there. Listen, summoning the 12, Jesus gave them power and authority over all the demons and power to heal diseases. Then He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said, take nothing for the road, He told them. No walking stick, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. You don't need to take anything extra, not even an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave there. If they do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. Did you notice that Jesus gave the power to 12? Do you understand what that means? Do you understand? Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, had the power. God, not only did he walk with God for 3 years, but Jesus gave him the ability to do what I just read. He had the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick. And yet, there came a time where he still denied Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. I don't understand that. I want to ask God about that one day. It does not make sense to me. This morning, I want to admit to you that I don't understand why God randomly picked Abraham and Paul. He randomly picked Abraham to make a nation, his nation, the Hebrew nation, and then after Christ, he randomly picked Paul. Now, God picked a pagan in Abraham and a persecutor in Paul. It does not make sense to me. But then again, church, I want to admit to you, I don't know why God chose me. I still don't know why God chose me. I like Paul, the longer I live and the longer I serve God, I don't understand why he chose me. I wouldn't have chosen me. I don't understand another thing. I don't understand how much God loves me. I do not understand how God put his love in me to love others the way he loves them. I don't understand how much God loves the church or how much I am to love my wife as Scripture tells me that I'm to love her the way Christ loves the church. I don't understand people who call themselves Christians and do not love others. Let me say that again. I do not understand how Christians who call themselves Christians can say they love God, but they don't love people. I don't understand it. Now, I know love and that God loves me, but I do not understand the total dynamics of love. I know I'm loved. But I don't understand why God loves me. I just don't. Can I tell you just one more thing? Just one more thing that I'm not sure of today? Church, I don't know what in the world is going on here in the world. I've tried to figure it out to the best of my abilities. And this is what that I've come up with so far to fit what I believe is taking place in the world today around us. Listen to this. Do I believe that people are sick today? Yes, I do. I believe that people are sick. Do I believe that people are dying? Yes, I do. I believe that people are dying. Do I believe some hospitals are overrun? Well, the news shows us that some hospitals are overrun, so yes, I guess I have to believe it. Do I believe that nurses and healthcare workers are terrified? Yep, I believe that. Do I also believe that we're being lied to a lot? Yes, I do. Do you believe that I do believe that China is lying about the numbers? Yes, I do. Do I believe that COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it is being politicized? Yes, I do. Do you believe this thing is being used to strip Americans of their rights? Yes, I do. Do I believe that there's a bigger picture than what politicians and the media are telling us? Yes, I do. Do I believe this is more about power and control than anything else? Yes, I do. Do I believe we as Americans just set the most dangerous precedent for our liberty and freedom ever in the history of the world? Yes, yes, I do. Yes, I am one of the million times more terrified. I am more terrified than the precedent that's just been set than any virus. That's what I believe. I don't know what's going on. But I know this, God knows what's going on. It hasn't caught him by surprise. He's in yesterday, he's in today, and he is already in tomorrow. Church, I've spent quite a bit of time telling you things that I do not know. I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I want to tell you this. Concerning this virus, I want you to pay close attention. The same people who are pushing fear are pushing appeal for a cure. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. Wake up, church. The same. Let me say it again just in case you missed it. The same people who are pushing fear are pushing appeal for a cure. And it's not going to be cheap. It never is. Now, church, I've spent quite a bit of time telling you things I don't know. And if you are honest with yourself, there are a lot of things that you don't know. To be honest, there are some things that I like not knowing about. There are some things that are none of our business. We need to pay attention to that. Because, listen, there's some times where people want to tell you something. You need to stop and listen, that's none of my business. I don't need to know about that. And turn and walk. You might even need to tell them. Listen, that's none of my business. I don't need to know about that. We don't need to know. But can I tell you? Can I tell you some things that I do know for certain? I've spent a long time telling you about things I don't know. Now I want to tell you about some things I do know. Now, things I know for certain. Number one, God did not call us to live our lives in fear. God did not call us to live our lives in fear. If we know one thing for certain, it is that unless Christ raptures the church, we're all going to die. If Jesus does not rapture the church, we're all going to die. None of us are going to make it out of here alive. With that knowledge, we need to live our lives to the fullest and serve God with every breath that is within us. Can I tell you what would change the world? Don't you want to be a world changer? Can I tell you what would change the world? If we as Christians would live life today like we only had one day to live, wouldn't that be revolutionary? Because I believe the importance of life would overflow and overspill in us and help us to understand what is the most important thing. And we'd get about doing what the most important thing in the world is. I can imagine that if we realized that today was our last day, that Christians would become flaming evangelists for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sounding the alarm and trying to tell their loved ones before they died one last time about who Jesus is, who Jesus was, who Jesus will forever ever be, and how Jesus changed their life. Everybody would be on fire for Jesus if we knew we had just one more day. Well, let me ask you this. How do you know that you don't just have one more day? And what I just explained is what God has asked us to be for Him. He told us to testify to the world about what He had done for us. It's not hard. We make it hard. Something else I know and I'm very assured of, is that God loves me and He loves you. Now, as I stated earlier, I can't explain that love. I don't know why God loves me. I don't know why God chose me, but He did. I can feel that love inside of me. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I can't be that person. There's times where I've tried to be mad. I've tried to be upset. I've tried, and I can't because the love of God is in me. Or you think you're just better. No, it's not that at all. I don't think I'm better than anybody. God won't allow me not to hate somebody. I just can't do it. Brother Kyle, are there some people that you don't like? Well, there's some people that I guess everybody doesn't like. But I'm not to hate them. And when I'm around them, I'm to love them the way Christ loved me in my sin. Sometimes that's hard. But the closer I am to God, the easier it is for me to do. Now, can I tell you something else that I know? Pay attention. This is deep. This is top secret FBI information. You ready? Something else that I know. Jesus is coming. We are one day closer to His return. Are there things that I don't know about the return of Christ? Well, yeah. But I know that Jesus is coming, and these are why, the reasons why I know Jesus is coming. Number one, he said he was coming back. Now, there's certain people, when they walk up and they tell me certain things, I don't know whether I can count on them or not. People will say, Brother Kyle, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to do this at the church. And I really believe that they're going to, but you can't set your watch to it. You don't know when they're coming. You know that they might come, but it might be 6 months. You don't know. But I can tell you, listen, when Jesus says he's coming, you can guarantee it, he is coming. And he said that he's coming back, so you need to get prepared. You need to get ready. Jesus said, I'm coming back, and you need to be ready. Number two, he gave us signs to look for when his return was close. Now, I could go through every one of those signs, and God might lead me to sometime in the future. But I want you to understand, go back and read Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said those were signs, they were birth pains to what was coming. We can see many of those signs today. We might even be able to relate what's going on in the world today right now while we're not in the church and our pews and our fellowship and together as to what is taking place, what Jesus has said in Matthew chapter 24. Listen, God has never kept us in the dark and kept us in the blind. He gave us his word, and we need to be students of his word now more than ever to understand what's taking place. We really do. We really do. So Jesus told us he was coming back, and he gave us signs, but there's a third reason why I know Jesus is coming back soon. I can feel it. Well, Brother Kyle, you know, you've said we don't need to place any substantial amount of anything on our feelings. Well, listen, I understand what you're saying, but I can feel it. All of us have the spiritual gift of discernment. And I can feel Jesus is coming back soon. Brother Kyle, how does that feel? When I was a child, my dad used to take us water skiing when he'd get off of work. Now, we knew approximately the time that the dad would get off work in the summertime. So we'd try and get all our chores done as fast as we possibly could at the end of the day. We'd wait till the end of the day to do it. But when we knew dad was on his way home, we would try to get everything done and ready in anticipation of him coming. That way all he'd have to do was come in the house, change his clothes, and we'd go out. We would stand by the door and look and watch. We would wait. We'd look at the clock. Listen, as he rounded the corner and he started down the street, you saw his car and excitement got there. That's where I am. I can feel that Jesus is coming. I can feel, I know, Brother Kyle, how do you know? I don't know. All I know is he's coming. And I'm ready for his coming. I anticipate his coming. Listen, I look forward more forward to his coming than the possibility of me dying and leaving the world that way. Either one, I'm going to be in the presence of God, but I'd much rather go out with Jesus in the rapture. I can feel it. I can feel we're close, church. There's something else that I know this morning. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 says this. Then I saw the right hand of the one seated on the throne, a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look in it. And I cried. John cried and cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look at it. Then one of the elders said to me, Stop crying. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has been victorious, so that he may open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw one that looked like a slaughtered lamb standing between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of God, sent into the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to have the scroll and to open its seals, because you have been slaughtered. You are redeemed, and you redeemed people for God by your blood. And from the tribe and language and people and nation, you made them a kingdom and priest to our God. And they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their numbers were countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, "The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy." Listen to that again. They said, "The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and glory and dominion to the one seated on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Do you understand what we just read in Revelation chapter 5 as we read the whole chapter? Listen, Jesus, something I understand and I know for sure, Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy of our praise, our adoration. Jesus is worthy of us accepting Him as our personal Savior. Jesus is worthy of us laying our life down before Him and serving Him. This I know for certain, church. But there's something else that I know. And what I know scares me. And it ought to scare you as well. What we see going on today with this coronavirus or Wuhan virus or whatever you want to call it is nothing compared to what's coming. This is nothing. Understand here. Read Revelation chapter 6. If you are still here on the earth, and I don't plan on being here, I believe that Scripture teaches that the rapture will take us Christians who've accepted Christ prior to the tribulation. But if you are here, 1/4 of the population is going to be wiped out by murders, by wars, by famine, and by plague, and by wild animals here on this earth. Listen, that's just with the fourth seal being open. We talked about Jesus in Revelation chapter 5 holding that scroll that had seven seals. Just with four of those seals being open, just with four of them being open, a quarter of the population is gone. Listen, after that fourth seal is open, you still have three more seals to be open. You have seven trumpet judgments. You have seven bowl judgments. And then you get to the seven thunder judgments that we know nothing about. John saw the thunder judgments, but the angel said, "Listen, don't write that down. Don't write it down. We don't have a clue what's coming with the thunder judgments." You have all of that. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? You do not want to be here. That's what scares me. This what we're experiencing for the past month and a half, however long we have left, this is nothing compared to what's coming. We can't stop it. Church, there's a lot of things that I don't know. Ask my wife. There's a lot of things I don't know. But I know this. No man wants to live during this time. Brother Kyle, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm not trying to scare you. But if scaring you makes you accept Christ as your personal Savior and makes you start serving Him the way you ought to have been serving Him all along, then yeah, I'll try to scare you. But no, I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to know the truth. That what we are seeing today is nothing. It's going to get much, much, much worse. And we need to be prepared as Christians as to as to how to weather the storms. And we're most definitely coming. And to sound the alarms now so the world will know that Jesus is the only answer. He's the worthy answer. He's the right answer. When people ask you, what do you think's going on? Look at them and say, I don't know, but Jesus does. And I know this. We need to be right with Jesus and on the side of Jesus because it's going to get much worse. Well, how do you know? They'll look at you and say, well, how do you know it's going to get much worse? Because Scripture tells us it's going to get much worse. Church, I've been asked countless times over the last months, Brother Kyle, what can we do? What can we do? Well, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, now is the time. I wouldn't wait one more day. And He made it easy. Read Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, Scripture says you shall be saved. If you're still confused, call the church office. I'm up here Monday through Thursday. Come by and see me. We'll talk about it. Call the church. Call my cell phone. Now is the time to accept Jesus. I would not wait not one more second. Now, if you're a Christian, you need to be taking every opportunity to tell people the same thing I've been telling you for almost 5 years now. What we're seeing is nothing. What is coming is terrible, and it cannot be stopped. Christians, you need to tell people to accept the love Christ offers now while there's still time. We need to sound the alarm. We need to tell the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to proclaim the truth. Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. All of us, today and every day. Are you ready? Do you know my Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, asking you to forgive us where we fail you. Lord, right now I pray that you would be, I pray that you'd be with this congregation, Lord. We love you and we're a part of the church, whether we're in this building or not, God, but we want to be in this building together because we're family. If there is a person who's listening to this service today, Lord, who's not a part of a fellowship, a body of believers, God, I pray through this time that they'll be encouraged by what they're hearing here. But God, when this is all over, I pray that you'll help them to find a body of believers that loves you. And God would connect with that body of believers because that's where we get our strength from, Lord. That's where we grow like never before when we're surrounded by other believers. God, I pray that you would invigorate us. You would ignite us to be what you've called us to be. To serve you like never before in ways that we never thought were possible. God, I pray that you would be with that person who might be listening, who has never accepted you as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to search the Scriptures. Help them to look at John chapter 3 and what Jesus and Nicodemus encountered with each other that night. Lord, I pray that they would go to Romans 10:9 and see what Paul says each person must do to be born again. God, help us to live out these last days in service to you. Because as I said earlier, you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Help us to live our lives knowing and showing that you are worthy. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for watching. I pray that you have a blessed week this coming week. I pray that you would continue to give to the church. It's been unbelievable to see what God has done and how God has blessed us. It's been amazing. Can't wait to see you again, to fellowship, to hopefully hug like we always do here at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. I don't know how in the world they're going to keep us from social distancing when we come back into this church for the first time, because there's going to be people who haven't seen each other in it's been over a month now, and we're going to be hugging necks. So I love you. I miss you. Can't wait to see you again. God bless.